You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to talk politics with Labour leader Andrew Little.
Yes, that's right. We are now joined by leader of the Labour Party, Andrew Little. Kia ora, Andrew. How's it going?
Kia ora. I'm very well, thanks. You?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Good. So, the government budget is due to be announced later today. So far, we know that $60 million will be invested towards the government's drug buying agency. All road ambulances will be double crewed by 2021 with $59.2 million worth of funding going into that over 4 years. And of course, $321 million will be put towards a social investment package to address the most vulnerable in our communities, to name just a few. What do you make of these pre-budget announcements?
Yeah, I think this is a government, you know, 9 years on. They are looking to give the impression that all the things that they've overlooked or let run down over the last 9 years, they're now kind of going to fix up, and they want some credit for that. Of the $321 million, we don't know where all of that is going yet, so expect some surprises in the budget about that. But I think the big unknown quantity is what they will do with taxes. They've talked about changing the tax thresholds, that is to say the brackets within which, you know, various earnings levels fall, and therefore what tax rate that you pay. So we'll see what that means. It looks like they want to do something with working for families and also the accommodation supplement. All of that comes about because in their 9 years of government, they've done nothing that routinely or regularly lifts people's incomes, particularly those on lower incomes. And typically for a national government, it's they get, you know, this far out from an election, this far through the election cycle, they realise that there's a whole bunch of people who haven't done particularly well and they're desperate to find ways to get cash in their pocket. Look, you'd never want to prevent that from happening, but on the other side of the coin, there is a massive shortfall in what I would describe as the social foundations in health, the healthcare that people get, never mind double crewing of ambulances, but just what you get in hospital. In schools, we know schools are overcrowded. We know that there's been an absolute failure to line up the future pipeline of teachers. And in housing, massive shortfall in housing. In jobs, 90,000 young people, not in work, education or training, nothing, you know, there's a government of 9 years that's done nothing about that. So the argument is going to be, I think, after the budget, have they invested in those things that's going to make a difference to whole people's lives? Or is it just about getting cash in people's pockets and making people feel good about that and hoping they ignore the rest?
Well, with the information that's been released so far, do you think they're investing in the wrong things then?
Listen, I want to call about some of the things that they that list that you mentioned. Yep, those things are overdue. I mean, you look at the double crewing of ambulances, but just bear in mind, too, that the extra crew that they are spending new money on, they won't be the fully trained paramedics. They will be what they call the emergency medical assistants, as opposed to the emergency medical technicians, who are the fully trained ones. The assistants have a 5-week training course, and it's going to take them 5 years to implement that. So you look at the fine detail, it's not as dramatic as they sometimes make out. When you look at the other areas where there are massive shortfalls and massive gaps opening up, obviously housing is one of them, but now in education and health. The reason we've made a big deal about mental health services is because, you know, that's a sector that's screaming out for attention, that's been under-resourced for so long. Nothing so far from the government about any of that. We'll probably hear something about some of those things in today's budget, but no real serious plan to fix up those areas that have been underinvested in for the last 9 years.
We'll get to the mental health sector stuff in just a moment, but what are you predicting will go down ahead of the budget announcement today?
Will go down. I mean, will come out of it, or any, I mean, I think there will be tax changes, and the government will say from 1 April next year, everybody will get this amount of extra dollars in their pocket. There'll be changes for working for families. Will help those on lower incomes as well. But of course, for every additional tax dollar that winds up in people's pockets, you know, people on lower incomes, it ends up in people on higher incomes' pockets as well. So there's a question about how fair that is when you know that there's all these shortfalls in these other areas of social spending. So we'll have a close look at that.
And Grant Robertson's just released an alternative budget plan this morning. Can you kind of talk about what Labor would propose to prioritise fiscally should you be fortunate enough to form a government?
Well, there's no question education and health are top priorities. I mean, the thing about housing, a lot of the stuff we'll do in housing, it'll require an upfront capital investment, but in the long run, over a 10-year period, actually, that's not a cost to the government. Housing will be a priority for us because we've just got to build more houses. On the health and education front, we know that health has had $1.7 billion cut from it over the last 6 years. We will restore that over time, and the top priority in health will be mental health. In education, there's a freeze on school funding at the moment, so we will lift that freeze, and we will work with schools and parents and whoever else we have to make sure that we have a plan for, you know, future buildings for schools so we can accommodate our students in classrooms designed for teaching and not in, you know, gymnasiums and school halls. And we're going to have to deal with that issue about national standards and just the pressure on teachers that has become extraordinary, and frankly lifting the status of teachers as well. So those are the things that we'll have. Jobs for young people is another big priority as well. We have to address that issue about young people not getting access to work and make sure that there are new opportunities for training and getting skills.
Right, and as you've mentioned, mental health's been this massive issue for this upcoming election, and Labor released a statement detailing the police resources that go into mental health work, which found the cost of dealing with mental health incidents for our police was a staggering $36.7 million, and that figure, of course, only takes into account the incidents that are mental health related and nothing to do with the occurrence of crime. Is this surprising at all to you?
Yeah, well, we'd been hearing from police officers on the beat, actually, for some time, that the amount of time they were spending on cases where there was a mental health issue at stake or at the centre of it was quite big. And so we made the request for the information from the police just to find out how significant that was. So I was surprised, just the number of hours in a day that the police force nationwide is spending on dealing with people with mental health issues, and largely because the mental health services are so stretched that people are falling through the cracks. And the police tell us, they regularly tell us, that they've become the kind of the default kind of safety net on mental health issues, because if the hospitals and mental health carers can't deal with people, they end up coming to the attention of the police eventually for some reason or another, and they end up having to deal with it. So it is a huge number, and that just confirms for me just how urgent the need is to get on and fix our mental health services.
I think it was something along the lines of 600 hours, and of course police say they dealt with nearly 30,000 mental health related incidents in 2015 and 16, with a 10% increase in the number of suicide related incidents since 2012. What practical measures can be taken to decrease these figures?
That's the whole issue about access to mental health services. And you talk to people, and I met some couple of mothers of young people, who one was a suicide victim, the other was a mother of young people who, or a young person who has used mental health services. They didn't know where to go. They just didn't know how to get hold of someone who could help. So that's why our primary mental health care policy is about making sure that you go to the doctor. If it's a mental health issue, that consultation with the doctor will be free, and the doctor will refer you to a professional mental health or a mental health professional who will then kind of work out what is the best course of action for you. Is it counselling? Is it something more serious? Is it addiction counselling? And not only refer you to the right place, but then keep a track of how you're going. Because what we also find is that for some people, they might be prescribed medication, they don't go and pick it up, and that becomes a problem. Or they're not following through on the counselling sessions that they get. We'll make some initial counselling sessions free as well, because people are telling us that they can't get access to counselling because it's too expensive, there's a barrier. So it's about investing in that end of it. And the mental health professionals tell me that the biggest shortfall at the moment in mental health care is the talking therapies, just giving people a chance to talk through and get some help to kind of just get things in perspective again. We get some of that stuff right, we can make a big difference.
And in order to get to that point, of course, you've said you want to review the mental health system in order to ease the pressure and stress on both police and mental health professionals. So is that, what exactly will this review entail?
It's really looking at, it's actually the People's Mental Health Review a couple of weeks ago called on this too. It's looking at the whole system and just seeing where the gaps are, talking to people in the community about what they perceive as and are the issues too. So, I mean, we've come up with a couple of policies that we know can make a difference that we want to get onto straight away, but there is a system-wide issue we've got to have a look at and make sure that we've got enough places for people to get mental health care, whether it's residential, whether it's just ongoing counselling, whether it's or what it is, what workforce development things we have to be doing or looking at to make sure that we have a workforce that is there that can meet the demand put on. Like it stuns me to find that I think in the last, 8 or 9 years, there's been a 60% increase in demand for mental health services, and yet the funding for it has increased less than half that that rate. So we do need to know where the gaps are and what the call for extra resources looks like.
And I think National's $1.7 billion funding cuts has also been another point of contention with that figure kind of looming around all the talk of mental health. How will you go about reversing it?
Well, that's going to take us a bit of time, and it's a big number. And the demand for, because of, you know, population changes, demographic changes, the demand for increased spending on health, you know, only ever goes up. And, you know, we want to make sure that PharmAct, for example, is a resource so that we're getting good modern cancer drugs and what have you. So we are pledging to restore that $1.7 billion, but it won't be in a single year. It probably may not even be in a single term of government. And it might take kind of 4 or 5 years, but we will, over a period of time, restore that, and we'll work out what the priorities are that go with that. But as I said, you know, mental health is certainly the top priority when it comes to that.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll catch you next week.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.